Our scripture lesson for our communion devotional this morning is Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever noticed how much effort a lot of us exert in either trying to emulate our parents or trying our best not to be like them? Now, of course, our perspective is going to be determined by our background. And those backgrounds vary as we are together this morning. Some of our experience was good, some was bad. But regardless of where we come from, we spend most of our life trying to repeat the character and actions of our parents or doing our best to avoid them and not repeat them. Now, what can be more alarming are those traits that just seem to almost take over. I've heard one young mother commenting to another young mother, I corrected Johnny the other day and I swear my mama came out. And when she says it, she's saying it in a tone of voice that it scared her to death. Others see family traits in us that we might not recognize in ourselves. Katie called Sally's mother Gaga. Now, I'll call them Gaga 1, 2, and 3. They're just alike. I'm not going to ask them if they think that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they're just alike. Started off with Sally's mother. Sally's just like her mama. Katie's just like her mama. Gaga 1, 2, and 3. You know, for good or bad, so much of what we like, so much of what we dislike about ourselves often runs in the family. Hank Williams Jr. wrote a song in the 1980s. Basically, what was going on is Nashville in general and the Grand Ole Opry in particular, they didn't like the way Hank Jr. was living his life. Now, I'm not going to get a debate about that. You can make your own conclusions about his lifestyle. But out of that grew a song that was his response to Nashville and the Grand Ole Opry. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, if you don't like the way I'm living, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition. You know, in this line of thought, there are some bad news, and there's some good news. The bad news is, like it or not, much of what we look like, much of what we think, much of what we believe, much of what we do is a product of our family. That includes those things we would like to continue, and it includes those things we would like to overcome. I look back at my own parents. There are things about them that I admired about them, particularly when I knew the backgrounds that they came out of. There are things about them that I hope I'm continuing. And then to be honest, there are things about them that in my private prayers I pray, dear God, don't ever let me go there. And if I have, please forgive me. But much of who we are runs in the family. Much of who we are, much of what we try to continue, much of what we try to not continue is a product of where we come from. Now I can hear, but the good news in all of this is we can be intentional about what we pass on and what we don't. Now I can almost hear somebody saying, well John, that's fine for people who are still raising small kids, but look, remember most of your folks in your congregation. Our kids are grown. Our grandkids are grown. And some are even great-grandparents. I think it's a little bit late to be wondering what I'm going to pass on. I think it's a little bit late to start thinking about my influence. Let me assure you, it is not. Some of the biggest lessons I learned from my in-laws and I learned from my parents is how they faced the end of their life. How they dealt with the issues that came with getting older. How they dealt with the issues of declining health. How they related to each other in the midst of all of that. Some of the biggest lessons I learned from my in-laws and I learned from my parents was from the end of their life. How they dealt with it. And how they dealt with it, both in the positive and the negative, has had an impact on how I am now conducting my life, because Sally can tell you, at least I hope she can, I've made some changes since experiencing that time with them. So your kids may be grown. Your grandkids may be grown. But you're still here. And even though you may not think you have it, you still have your mind. What are you going to leave behind as you face those latter parts? And I'm not trying to be depressing, but I'm just trying to push the point. The biggest lessons I learned from my in-laws and parents came at the end of their life. What are you going to pass on? What's the influence that you hope that you leave? Because you see, whether we've got 30 years left, whether we've got 30 days left, we're confronted with the question of what impression are we leaving upon our children and our grandchildren today? C.S. Lewis is credited with making an obvious statement, but a statement we do well to remember often. He said, "You cannot go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." I want to repeat that. You cannot go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. I imagine most of us parents, I know particularly the parent that's trying to preach right now, we can look back and likely have some regrets. I do. There are some places where I just frankly blew it. It wasn't an error in judgment. It wasn't I might could have made a better decision. It's I messed up. I blew it. And I imagine many of us, I know I'm number one, if I could go back with the advantage of experience and hindsight and do some things differently, I would do a lot of things differently. But we can't. But C.S. Lewis was correct. You cannot go back and change the beginning. But you can start where you are and change the ending. What is your ending goal? Besides making it to heaven. But other than that, in this life, what is your ending goal? Let me just share mine. I want to be intentional about leaving a family tradition that is centered on Jesus. I want to leave a family tradition that believes in second chances. Because you see, I messed up in some places. My kids messed up in some places. We can't go back and change the beginning. But we can start where we are and change the ending. I've given my kids second chances, and thank God they're good kids. They have followed through. And I pray to the Lord that not just in words only, they've given Daddy a second chance from the places where he messed up. I want to leave a family tradition that believes in second chances. I want to leave a family tradition of knowing, not hoping, but knowing we're loved by God. I want to leave a family tradition so that my grandchildren might give the same answer as a little boy when the pastor was asking the class of children why they love God. And all of the children were given great answers, and it came to one little boy that said, "Why do you love God?" And he said, "I don't know. I guess it runs in the family." May the same be said for us. As we gather around the Lord's table to receive Holy Communion, may we recommit ourselves to Jesus. So whatever our beginning might have been, we may start where we are today, making our ending influence one where loving and serving Jesus just runs in the family. Let us pray. Our most gracious Lord, you know all of us in this room, parents or children. We've all made mistakes. We've all flat out sinned. We've all blown it at one time or another, and probably more than once. But gracious Lord, thank you that you take us where we are. You don't rub our face in the past. You don't rub our face in the beginning. But you take us where we are and you show us where we can go. So gracious Lord, whatever our family situation may look like, may you use us all from this point forward to be persons who so love you, so serve you, so influence others to love and serve you, that if one of our relatives asked, you know, why do y'all love Jesus? We might truly say, I'm not really sure. It just seems to run in the family. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning I remind you that everyone, regardless of church membership or denominational affiliation, is invited to receive and participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Further reminders, we do receive communion at the altar rail, but if kneeling is difficult, please feel free to stand. And if there are any that need to be served in your pew, if you just alert the ushers, they will let Putt and myself know, and we'll be glad to serve you there. You will find your liturgy for Holy Communion on the inside pages of the white bulleted insert.